Good evening, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk on this Thursday. Scott Beatty here along with Matt Daniels, and we are live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign, 2001 South Neal. Come on out. Scotty's Brewhouse is your home for beers, burgers, and sports. Matt and I carrying you up till 6 o'clock. Later on tonight, it's Illinois women's basketball. They tip at 7 o'clock at the State Farm Center. Our special guest tonight, Rod Cardinal, he'll be joining us in just a moment. But Matt Daniels, should we dare talk about that ball game last night for Illinois?
Well, Dick Vitale is not going to stand on his head this time with Illinois-Austin Peay outcome, but it was not a pretty night of basketball at the State Farm Center on Wednesday night for both teams. A lot of turnovers, not a lot of made shots at all, and I'm sure both coaches, especially Brad Underwood, are not too pleased with the outcome on Wednesday night, but Illinois got a win.
Yeah, so I noted last night on the postgame show, probably if you commit more turnovers than you have made field goals, you're probably not going to win a basketball game. But Illinois managed to do it.
Yeah, that's somehow a fluky way that it happens like that sometimes. But Illinois showed some signs and areas it definitely needs to improve upon. Good thing for Illinois, though, is that Michael Finke and LaRon Black had good games and helped carry them throughout last night. Still got some struggles with the youth that they have and the guard play, but I'm sure practice is going to be very spirited in the next couple days before they make the trip to Las Vegas for Saturday night's really, really late tip-off against the Running Rebels.
Yeah, they are, I think, en route just soon. Ed Bond is still here, our engineer. So when he leaves, you know the team is getting ready to leave because he'll be scooting over there to the airport. And they decided to leave a little bit extra early because I think of the time and altitude and all that stuff. So poor Ed's got to spend a day in Vegas
poor
on Friday.
Ed.
We'll have to get a report. I think he's going to be tweeting all weekend.
All right, there you go. Scott Ritchie will be there too.
Yes, yeah, Scott Ritchie. Poor Ritchie. Boy, is one of those guys sick at all? Do they need a fill-in?
No, I think they're okay.
All right, let's look at today's headlines briefly. The Cubs have agreed to a contract with right-hander Tyler Chatwood for 3 years, $38 million. He comes via the Colorado Rockies. He'll be 28 years old next week. This past season went 8-15 with a 4.69 ERA and 33 appearances, including 25 starts. Lifetime 4.31 ERA over six seasons. That includes a stop as well with the LA Angels. He's had Tommy John surgery as well and figures to be in the rotation with John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, and Jose Quintana. Some college football news. Baker Mayfield is the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. He's the fourth Oklahoma quarterback to win that award since 1998. Stanford running back Bryce Love came in second, and Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson also in the running. Those are the three that are also the finalists for the Heisman Trophy. Tennessee has hired Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt as their head coach. That caps a very rocky search, resulted in the athletic director being fired after a Volunteers' very disappointing season as well. NFL news, the Browns have fired top executive Sashi Brown, but are keeping coach Hugh Jackson for another season, whatever. Okay, fire
one
the executive.
One in 27, I believe.
That's his whole record. I don't know that is something I'd put on a resume if you're looking for another NFL job, but that's how that works. And the Pittsburgh Steelers say injured linebacker Ryan Shazier has undergone surgery to stabilize his spine. Team says the surgery was performed last night after Shazier was transferred from a hospital in Cincinnati to one in Pittsburgh. And here's an item I came across as well. The Illinois Basketball Coaches Association has announced their Hall of Fame inductees for 2018, and they always also induct teams into the Hall. We can ask Rod Cardinal about this. Is the 2005 men's team from the U of I.
Pretty slam dunk.
Yeah.
Choice there.
I guess maybe you have to wait so long. I'm not sure why it wouldn't have been sooner, but maybe there's a limitation. And pardon there for the feedback. We're working on that here at Scotty's Brewhouse. 2001 South Neal here in Champaign. You can stop by. Plenty of goodies. Every Thursday here at Scotty's, enjoy all-day $2 well drinks, half-price cheese pizza, and $2 cans of select beer. Well, tomorrow, the Illini volleyball team is in the Sweet 16. They will play Michigan State at Penn State, and if they win that, they are likely going to face Penn State. Penn State will take on Mizzou, but Penn State is the number one seed in the overall tournament. Had a chance to catch up with senior LeBron Donnelly as the Illini gets set for this Sweet 16 appearance, and she is going to be playing her final match as an Illini player at some point here, hopefully not this weekend. Here's my conversation with Brandy.
Brandy, congratulations on making it into the Sweet 16. Did you see this coming?
I don't think we ever really set like certain milestone expectations for ourselves. We just took it one game at a time. Our goals at the beginning of the season was to beat Gonzaga, and that was our first game. So I think we haven't really shied away from that. We're really focusing on one game at a time, and that's all we've really talked about.
Does that go for you two individually? Because at some point this month you're going to play your last match as an Illini. Do you think about that much?
I haven't really thought about it too much, honestly. I'm just thinking about just getting through each game with a win and having fun with my teammates.
Is there a little bit of thought of redemption or revenge to get a win against Michigan State after losing to them in the regular season?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. I think we treat every team about the same, though. We go about it the same with scouting and our pregame and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it's a little different playing another Big Ten team. We know a lot about them already because we've played them. But I don't think we're treating it too different.
Since the upset win over Minnesota, if you'll permit me to say upset win over Minnesota, have you sensed a different level of play from this team?
Yeah, I think we're just really playing in the moment and taking it one point at a time. We've just kind of had a go out, do your thing, no pressure attitude lately, and I think it's really working for us.
You guys have talked a lot about being in the moment, one game at a time, one play at a time. Is that something that is a learned thing over time for you? You're a veteran, you're a senior, but is that something you still have to battle?
Yeah, I think it's a learned thing for sure. Because you could be thinking about the mistake you made 5 points ago, but it's definitely a learned thing to be in the moment. What's next? What could happen next?
Senior libero for the Illini, and it's a 3 p.m. first serve or thereabouts. Might be a little bit later because they follow the first match of that regional, which is Penn State and Mizzou, and Dave Lone will be on the call here tomorrow on DWS. We're live at Scotty's Brewhouse, 2001 South Neal in Champaign. Before the end of the show, we'll give away a pair of tickets. I'm holding them right here to the next Illinois men's home game. It's Wednesday night against Longwood. You can register for a pair of those, and Steve will be you can register up here at the front for him, and if we draw your name at the end of the show to anybody here in the restaurant, you can go to the game on us. Rod Cardinal will be there. We'll talk with him when we come back. It's Sports Talk on a Thursday.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for Sam Banks with the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, Friday morning on DWS.
Sports Talk from Scotty's Brewhouse on this Thursday. Scott Beatty here, no relation, alongside Matt Daniels. Come on by. We have the perfect, Scotty's Brewhouse, that is, has the perfect place with craft beers as a craft beer sports bar, 36 beers on tap, 64 large screen TVs to watch any sporting event of your choice. I know they regularly have watch parties here for a lot of different Illini events when they are on the road. Pleased to have with us Rod Cardinal. He is charge of special projects and coordinator of special projects is the official title for you, but you've had just about every title, I think, through the years for Illinois basketball, except maybe head coach. And would you ever want that job?
Oh, gosh, no. No way. No way. I opened up the newspaper this morning and looked at the little promo piece here, and it said, 50 years with Illinois basketball. I had a quick add up. I'm not quite at 50 yet, but, closer to 45.
Yeah, 1973 is when you first started as an assistant athletic trainer. For those that don't know, a deep history with Illinois basketball, and your son Brian was a standout high school player down the road at Unity High School. We had TJ Wheeler here last week, so
oh,
I don't know if we're going to set up a pattern of always having a Unity guy up here, but went on, of course, to a great, tremendous career at Purdue University and then the NBA. Now, what's your son up to, Brian?
Well, he's still spending, working with Purdue Athletics in their John Purdue Club, fundraising, making appearances, speeches, talking about all the things Purdue has going on, and then he just recently got involved with some NBA regional administrative work where they're he's involved with the international academy scene that they're trying to develop around the world. He's actually in Mexico City for the rest of this week, and then right before Christmas he'll go to France in Paris for a few days with the NBA group to spend a little bit of time, again, in the, all of the developmental part of it. So he's staying pretty busy.
Tremendous, the reach that NBA basketball has.
It's such a global force on everything. And, you know, as they search for the next, you know, Yao Ming or Tony Parker or Dirk Nowitzki, you know, that's their goal. They want to bring that segment of the world into focus for international basketball.
We're talking with Rod Cardinal, coordinator of special projects for Illinois men's basketball.
And you mentioned off-air that a big event for next Saturday, Illinois plays New Mexico State up at the United Center in Chicago, working on a big event to honor Coach Henson.
Yes, we're really looking forward to that. We'll probably have about 100 to 150 of Coach Henson's former players and managers that will come by the United Center. There'll be a pregame event 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Everybody have a chance to talk with Coach and see him a little bit. And then it'll be in the United Center itself, and then the alumni players will just basically walk across the hall and go into the arena and watch the ball game. That'll be a real fun thing. We've had a good response to that, real good response.
Are you working with the New Mexico State folks too, or do they have kind of their own arm that's doing their own coordinating?
They have their own arm that's coordinating it, but because of our involvement, they're working with our people to bring that in there. There'll be a nice contingency of their former players and staff there as well.
I know he's got his name on the court down there. If I went down there, would I just be jealous? Because would people take ownership of Lou Henson like we take ownership of him right around
here? Oh, absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. You know, he's, you know, They'd split him right down the middle, and we can have half, and they can have half, and they'll fight you for the other part, just like we do.
What's your first memory of Coach Henson at all? I don't want to date you too much, Rod.
You already said he's been here 50 years.
He was a taskmaster at practice, and I think probably the things that I remember the most were if somebody got hurt, and I identify with the guys more with your injuries than a lot of the other stuff, but he'd look over and be sitting, and he'd be yelling at me because the players weren't in shape. And they're always hurt because they're not in shape. And, you know, Coach, you got to get them in shape. And, you know, being scolded, and then later on at night, you know, he'd call me sometimes and say, now, don't take it personally. I need to get a point across to these guys, and you're in a convenient position. So I said, I'm fine, Coach, whatever.
I think there's been a few assistants that have been in a convenient position for Brad Underwood here in the first few ball games because and the press as well. We sit behind the scorer's table, and he seems to take whoever will be an audience to some of his thoughts. And I think it's best not to answer his questions. But sometimes he'll look right at you and ask a question.
He is a riot to listen to, if you can kind of separate that part of it. You know, what I should do is just like I did with Coach Henson a little bit, is write down some of his one-liners because you could, some of them are amazing. And you're right, you don't want to answer them, and you don't even want to have direct eye contact with him when he's going up and down the sidelines. But nonetheless, he's a good coach, and I think we're very fortunate to have him. We like him.
What's it been like just interacting with him these last 8-9 months or so?
Well, you know, the thing that's really nice about Coach Underwood is that he's really able to separate the basketball activities on the court and then the other side of the coin, the real world stuff, the stuff we deal with in the office. You know, whether we win or we lose, life goes on. Mm-hmm. The business of the basketball office and the program continues to evolve. And he's really good at coming in the office, asking people what do we need to get done today, you know, how this is going, do we have any meetings, any special things. And people feel more invested into the program. They really don't want to let them down. You know, he's very enjoyable to be around, and the culture in the office has been very, very positive.
Coaches come, coaches go. Athletic directors come, athletic directors go.
Rod Cardinal stays.
That's right, Rod Cardinal stays. But when you go through a coaching change, and you've gone through several, is that hard for you? Because you're a very good people person.
Yeah.
But that's got to be hard, win or lose.
It's really difficult. You know, I think I was probably pretty darn close to Coach Weber because he recruited my son, mm-hmm. Brian, to Purdue. So I got to know him really well. And, you know, when he left, it was a very emotional and tough time. And I wasn't sure that, you know, I wanted to continue on after that. That part of it, but you know, Coach Gross was really good and very patient and gave some time and allowed us to figure some things out in the office and how we could help each other. And, you know, a big connection with the coaches have been our alumni. And, you know, I've got a good base with all those guys. So it's worked good, but it's definitely an emotional thing. You spend an awful lot of time with those guys in the office, and it's tough.
I suppose it doesn't – you know the business, but it's still going to happen. Most every coach finishes their time at a place because somebody tells them it's time to be done.
Yes, without a doubt.
How did you get started in this business, Rod?
Basically, I went to – I'm from Minnesota, went to college at a small state school in Minnesota called Southwest State University. And I was a basketball player in high school and in college, and they needed a job. so I went into the athletic department. They said, well, you know, you can work part-time if you want as a student athletic trainer, 20 hours a week work study. I said, sure, sounds good. So I started working with the guy there, and we'd go on road trips. I'd tape a few ankles, tape my ankle, and go play. And got started doing it that way. And towards the end of my college time, my draft deferment and waivers were all used up. And, you know, I knew that we were going to get drafted, and Vietnam was going on. I wasn't too excited about having to go over to Vietnam, but I knew that the military academies would use civilian skills, people with civilian skills to benefit the Corps or the cadets, whatever. So I started writing a few letters, and the people from Army got back to me first and said, well, we've got an opening in September, but you got to volunteer for the draft. And so I moved on there, and that was like a graduate assistantship. I spent 2 years there at West Point, and about to get out of the Army, and I was aware of a job opening here and made a few phone calls and had an interview. And, you know,
it was between here and Missouri.
Missouri.
How much different would your life have been if you would have picked Missouri?
Boy, wouldn't that have been something? That would have been really weird. You know, my wife and I looked at the map. You know, we looked at a map of getting out of the Army, and where's Champaign? I don't know where Champaign is. I know where Chicago is, but we have to find Champaign. And we look at the map. That northwestern tip of Illinois, it's not that far from southwestern Minnesota. You know, that'd be all right. Well, 537 miles, as we've made it about 200 times over the last 40-some years. So.
Who hired you?
Skip Pickering was the head athletic trainer at the time. Cecil Coleman was the athletic director. Harv Schmidt was the basketball coach. Bob Blackman was our football coach at the time. There was just two full-time staffers, a doctor, and we had probably six or seven students. We didn't have women's athletics at the time yet. It was, you know, we didn't win a lot of games then, but, geez, we had a lot of fun.
What's kept you around all these years?
It's a great place. The University of Illinois is a terrific place to be. Athletics is a great place to raise a family. It's just a positive place. You know, I'd like to have won a few more games, but overall, the experience, dealing with great coaches, wonderful student athletes, you know, some great friends with student athletes, managers, student trainers. So, yeah, I've had a chance to leave a couple times, but when you sit down and kind of weigh things out, it's a good place to be.
Have you had to learn to ride the roller coaster of winning and losing? And, you know, you're involved with it, but not directly like a coach or a player.
Didn't break a clipboard or anything the other night.
No, it didn't break any. Okay.
Yeah, did they have to send somebody over to Oven to go get a new one?
No, but we did place an order today for some backups.
Just in case,
yeah.
No, but, I mean, you see coaches and players, you know, the ups and downs that come with athletics. Is that something you had to learn to temper over the time?
You learn to deal with it because obviously you spend the same amount of time as the players and the coaches do, and you want to win, you want to be successful. But, you know, when you get into it, I'm more focused on, you know, who's healthy, who's not healthy. You know, I never wanted to go into a coach's meeting with a too long of a list of injuries. You know, I always had to have a plan. You know, when you're working with other people's health, you don't get a lot of second opportunities. You got to be pretty darn spot on each time you're dealing with them. So, you know, I worried more about that part of it. When I took over the basketball operations part of it, you know, again, I wanted to win, but a successful trip for me was, is the plane on time? Is the bus on time? Are the meals on time? You know, who's late for the bus? And, you know, the coach is going to get mad. And, you know, those meant you know, successful trips, too.
When you, in your time, when you saw a rash of injuries, and, you know, this happened, was it last year or the year before when there were so many injuries under John Gross? And I think there's a part of a fan that wants to go, well, what's wrong? Why is there so many injuries? You know, it can't just be on bad luck. Have you ever been able to examine and go, well, something has to change so that we don't get so many injuries? You can't prevent them all the time, right? But is there ever things you look at in your time where you go, I have to change something so we don't get as many?
I think you do, but you those kind of take place more or less after the season. You're going full bore, you know, playing games and game prep and working on those things that you probably analyze that stuff afterwards, after the season, before the whole season starts again. But on the fly, it's you just can't. You're just, you know, you're in survivor mode, and, you know, you need the guys out on the court and just keep them going.
I remember talking to you a few years ago, Rod, on the 10-year anniversary of the 04-05 team that happened. What stands out about that memorable season for you at all?
Oh, gosh, just first of all, how fast we were. Just amazing, the speed of everything. And just, you know, just such a talented group of kids put together. You know, Coach Self recruited them. Coach Weber had to get them all on the same page, and it was just masterful on both parts. They were just so good. I mean, they could play so many different ways, and, you know, they could stop you on the court. You know, Wayne McLean used to say, if they can't stop you if they can't catch you, you know. And, you know, D would be flying down the court, and, you know, James would be matching them stride for stride. You know, the athleticism was terrific. So, you know, great guys, great kids. You know, their rock star celebrity status stands out. I mean, we were sneaking. I can remember in Chicago sneaking through the restaurant in the kitchen area to get to a service elevator, trying to avoid, you know, some of the people, just, you know, because it was overwhelming. You know, they like to sign a few autographs, but our big deal was, you know, sign and walk. Just keep moving as you're signing to get into the get to the hotel, and having managers on the floor to watch the elevators, you know, to keep fans off the floor.
Where were you during the national championship?
I actually sat in the locker room for that game. I had a credential for the semifinals, but it wasn't good for the national game, the championship game. I tried to sneak out with Kent Brown and Dana Brenner, and they got through, and I didn't. So I
wait a minute. You had the ability to be in the team locker room,
yeah,
but you weren't allowed into the arena.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they control the seats, the passes, the structure, and, you know, I was just operations. I wasn't that key of a guy. Once they get into the arena, you know, I'm standing around watching. So
that blows my mind. Yeah. Anybody who should be allowed in the team locker room should be allowed to be in the arena.
Yeah, that's one of the you know, good unknown stories about that that episode of my career. And
I remember talking to you too about that season and Luther Head dealing with his ankle injury, and just kind of let our listeners know, I guess, what kind of went into that to get him ready to play.
Well, Al Martindale was the guy who replaced me as the athletic trainer, and Al worked really hard, but not only with his ankle injury, but with a hamstring problem and a couple other little things that, you know, it's just a time commitment thing. I mean, I relate more back to the 89 team, the Final Four team there where Kenny Battle got hurt, Lowell Hamilton got hurt, and, you know, I can remember John Makovic telling me in the hallway at the hotel, saying, you know, when I was at Wake Forest, you know, old Doc, you know, he'd have stayed up all night to get those guys better. I thought, well, okay, that's my cue. So I set my alarm for about every 4 hours, and we changed a couple roommates so I could put Battle and Hamilton in the same room. So if, when I got up every 4 hours to go change their ice bags or whatever, you know, I could deal with one bed on one side of the room and the other bed on the other side. You know, you didn't dare turn on many lights because you didn't want to wake them up. You're just hoping that the ankle there was the right ankle.
Yeah, you're like a nurse in the middle of the night in a hospital room.
Exactly. So, yeah, you know, those are all fun memories, you know, cool moments and stuff. And everybody should have that opportunity that's in athletics to have a chance to play for a national championship. What a special moment.
Speaking of Kenny Battle, he was at the ball game the other night. And then tonight, his daughter plays for Indiana State and will be the opponent tonight for the Illini women.
Yeah.
You got to connect with him much?
Kenny, I get a monthly phone call wanting to know the state of the state here with Illinois basketball and how things are going. And, you know, he's proud of his kids. You know, he's got a son that's a pretty good football player, as I understand it right now. And, I talked to him the other night. Brian Cook was back for the game. I had a nice little visit with him for a little while. Bruce Douglas came down and actually conducted a little chapel service for the players after the shoot around before pregame meal. So it's always fun to see him and his wife, come down for that type of stuff. So, yeah, and what's really cool, Scott, is, you know, the other day Levi Cobb came back for a ball game, and he's on one side of the gym, and here's Deion Thomas on the other side. You know, one represents the 70s, the other represents the 90s. You know, last night I got Bardo on one side, Altenberger on the other side, you know, and it's just, you know, the connections with those guys like that, to see them back is really fun and representing different eras.
Well, and obviously it was important for the basketball, but what happens in your life in college is so key too. It's so formative for the rest of your life. I think it's very important for those guys just to be back and remember the good things they had.
Oh, yeah.
Are there players that you, regardless of their abilities and what they did on the court, are there players that you have gotten very close to over the years?
Well, I think anybody that was hurt, I got close to.
Yeah.
I was spending a lot of time trying to get them better. So, you know, Lucas Johnson's and Robert Archibald's, Ephraim Winters, Altenberger had some knee issues. Marcus Griffin had some things going on. So, yeah, you know, back in the day when Steve Lana first got hurt in the 70s, you know, the medical profession was trying to figure out how to deal with ACLs and what was the protocol for injuries and stuff, and we spent a lot of time doing things with them. And as things evolve, every era, every year, every group is a little bit different. Sometimes they are good to work with. Sometimes they're mad at you because you're making them uncomfortable. But that's part of rehab and therapy and stuff. If I could have a patient like Lucas Johnson every day in his ability, or Kendall Gill, that would challenge you to make it harder for him, and I want to get better quicker, and what do I do? How can I do that? You know, those are really nice moments.
What's Lucas Johnson up to?
He's in Chicago. I don't know. He was with the Board of Trade or something up there for a while, and things that he's got kids now.
It's not irritating opposing coaches.
These guys kind of grow up and get married and have kids, and it's like, holy cow, what happened here?
Rod Cartnell with us for just a few moments longer, coordinator of special projects for Illinois men's basketball. Can't let you leave without asking your take on this season so far. We saw a team on Sunday night that took Maryland into overtime and should have won that ball game, and then last night eked out a win against Austin Peay and struggled on the floor. It's a young team, but the ceiling, I would imagine, in your mind is probably pretty high.
Oh, without a doubt. Coach really works hard with the guys. We're judged on our wins and losses, I understand that, but if you could see the things that go on behind the scenes on the court, Mark Smith was in there for an hour and a half this morning with doing the weights, getting a little bit of treatment, and then working out with one of the managers and trying to get some shots up, trying to regain some confidence in his stuff on the court. Trent Frazier, he's another D. Brown in terms of the speed and quickness, some things. You know, the two big guys we got, man, if they fill out a little bit, their athleticism is off the charts. So there's some really good things going on with coach and with the guys on the floor, and I'm optimistic. We're going to struggle at times this year. That's going to happen. But I think as we get a few more players that fit the Underwood mold, he gets after them on court on defensively. I mean, I thought it was really interesting to listen to Mark Turgeon talk after the game the other night about how hard it is to play at the State Farm Center and how hard it is how hard they guard you and make it difficult for you to get into your offense. And I thought that was an encouraging development in the statement for me.
Well, Lauren Tate had pointed out that probably if you just wanted to go pick your five best players on the court mm-hmm. that other night, at this point in everybody's careers, yeah. you would probably pick four, maybe even five Maryland players.
Yeah.
But Maryland got outplayed and outcoached in the second yeah. half, and that's no disrespect to a very good Maryland coach.
No, and man, they are a long, lean team, too, really athletic. I was shocked at the first half, very disappointed, but boy, that they bounced back the second half, and it took some motivation from coach to get them going, to wake them up at halftime a little bit, but they responded very, very well, and
the only casualty was a trash can.
Yeah, the only trash can. But, again, he's trying to get these guys to lead so he doesn't have to go through, the motivational periods that he's required to do from time to time. So, he's a definite thumbs up. It's going to be a fun ride with coach.
Well, Rod Gardner, we are so pleased that you spent some time with us here. Thanks for making the trip out.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rod.
Rod Gardner, coordinator of special projects for Illinois men's basketball and the curator of all things Illinois men's basketball as well. When we come back, Colin Likas is here. He'll give us a little update on the preps scene. It's Sports Talk from Scotty's Brewhouse.
Hi again, everyone. This is Jen Turpin. Join me for a penny for your thoughts on Friday. We'll have an open line at 9, then we'll visit with political guru Jim Nolan.
Scotty's Brew House is where we're at tonight for Sports Talk. We'll be here most every Thursday for the rest of the basketball season. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels here with you. And Scotty's Brew House is celebrating their first year anniversary. Come in and receive a free appetizer gift card. That's good through the month of September. Colin Likas is here. He's the News Gazette Preps Coordinator. He joins us for an update on what's going on in the high school scene. How you doing, Colin?
Yes, sir. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's busy for you right now?
Everything is busy for me. All area football is wrapping up, which is awesome. I can't reveal who the player of the year is because that would be a spoiler. But anybody who was...
Find out in Sunday's News
Gazette.
How far is the area?
About 35 minutes.
35-minute
I don't know how many miles that would be.
40-mile radius yeah. around Champaign-Urbana.
So it could be somebody here in town. It could be somebody in the next county or either direction.
That is right.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you offense, defense? Can't even tease that?
Well, he plays both sides, but he's definitely being nominated for the offensive perspective for sure.
Very good. You watched a very good ball game between Centennial and Urbana on the basketball side the other night, and you're going to a big one tomorrow night.
That's
in Danville
right.
and Central.
Yeah, Friday, two Division I signees, Tim Finke with Grand Canyon and Kendall Moore with Drake. That should be a really good game. Danville's 6-0 already. Central's 3-2, but they played some extremely good teams. I'm expecting it to be super competitive. Probably have to get there 45 minutes before game time to find a seat anywhere. It should be
you're shaking
totally
your head.
Crazy.
Oh, I mean, the Central Centennial games fill up good, and Combs Gym is a great place to watch a game, but I think it's still early in the season. But
yeah.
it should be a decent crowd and a great atmosphere, I'd say. Great barometer for both programs.
Yes.
Danville's ranked 6th in the state in Class 4A in the first AP poll that came out. Central's receiving votes. And, I think it's easy to say, too, that Central's struggled at times this year, and Tim Finke, their best player, hasn't played all that great, but I think it's a good sign that they've stayed competitive with Morgan Park on Saturday at the Chicago Elite Classic, and got a very good test and a very, very good Danville team on Friday night.
Yeah, I was more so just going off the crowd at over at Urbana
on
Tuesday because
it
was overflowing.
Yeah. And again, we get lost. Sometimes it gets lost when you focus on Illinois that there's some really good high school mm-hmm. basketball that goes on in this area.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
There's nothing like that Friday night energy in a gym where everything's packed in. Girls basketball as well is something you've been paying attention to.
Yep. Tonight I am heading over to Combs Gym just to lay of the land, I guess. Centennial Central crosstown rivalry. Neither team off to the best start, but, it's early. There's plenty of time to turn it around. And that should be another close competitive battle I'm looking forward to.
All right, so I have to ask you now mm-hmm. about your Blackhawks.
Do you have to?
Are they 0-3-2 in the last five?
Yeah.
Without Corey Crawford?
Yeah, Corey Crawford was pretty much dragging the team to competency, and now they are not competent, which is not a surprise.
I didn't see you in the office last night, so you're home
I watched the first quarter and first I hopped on Xbox Live after that and hung out with some friends.
Dragging a team to competency. Yeah. That is a new – that's a great phrase.
It's not wrong either.
Are they gonna make the playoffs, Colin?
If they do, it'll be as a wild card team. Okay. I'm going to say yes.
All right.
Because I hope they do.
All right. You are working on Danville Central tomorrow night. Anything yes. else to – an all-area football. Anything
all
else to keep
football.
Our eyes on?
Well, we've got plenty of wrestling going on. Just
All-area all girls golf is in,
yeah,
in Friday's
true.
News Gazette.
Yes, I did not directly work on that, but that is that is something that is in the News Gazette tomorrow. Great package to look forward to. I think that's the last all-area before football, right? That's
correct.
Yeah, that's it.
There's nine in fall sports.
Nine,
so,
yes.
Yeah, we've,
very busy.
We've crammed them all in here in the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
Well, I've appreciated getting to know you and welcoming you back here to the News Gazette. I know you're familiar with the lay of the land here, but new position for you. You're doing a
yes.
great job.
Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate
Colin
it.
Colin Likas on the News Gazette Preps Beat, and we'll come back to wrap this up. We're at Scotty's Brew House in Champaign.
Fighting Illini women's basketball. Scott Beatty and Mike Kuhn have the play-by-play of Illinois as they host Indiana State women's basketball tonight on DWS.
Back at Scotty's Brew House in Champaign, 2001 South Neal. Monday through Thursday, Scotty's features $4 house margaritas. Winner of our tickets to go see Illinois men's basketball next Wednesday is Randy. I'm going to go with Adlama, but I may be messing that one up. Randy from St. Joseph, you're the winner of our tickets, so come on up and claim them here on Sports Talk. Matt Daniels, thanks so much for being along here for the ride. Great to talk to Rod Cardinal tonight.
Yeah, it was
tonight.
Great. He's a great historical reference and knows anything and everything about Illinois basketball. It's always great to hear from him.
He should write a book. That's what he should write a book. All right, tomorrow in the News Gazette, what are we looking for?
Got a big feature on Jordan Poulter, Illinois volleyball setter, who's kind of led the charge for them to the Sweet 16. Scott Ritchie's got that. He's also at Illinois women's basketball tonight. And got all-area girls golf in the paper and lots of high school coverage as well.
Many thanks to Rod Cardinal, our guest, Colin Likas as well, on News Gazette Preps, engineer Ed Bond and Blake Landa here. Thanks to Tamara McDaniel in studio. I'm Scott Beatty saying thanks so much for listening and coming on out. Women's basketball coming up at 7 o'clock against Indiana State. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time for the tone, 6 o'clock at night.